In your book, Six Battles Every Man Must Win, you talk about how the Bible speaks of King David's mighty men of valor, these men who stand out as exemplary men. You've said that these men have to fight for their integrity and that this is a battle that all men must face. Tell us more about that, some stories of David's mighty men and how they had to fight for their integrity and how we have to fight for our integrity.
This whole thing about David's mighty men, it's important to understand these are guys that the scripture tells us were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. And apparently these were guys that were part of Saul's army who were driven from his army. And they lost their home, they lost their livestock, they lost their reputation, they lost their money, they lost everything. And yet these are men who, when they identified with God's purpose and God's leader David, they became men that David called mighty men of God, mighty men of valor. And while there were about 1,000 men around David, there were 33 or so mighty men of God. And I think, you know, the stories that I think about with these guys that are so compelling is how they would stand their ground and they would fight even through pain while everyone else was in full retreat. And it consistently says, you know, and the Lord brought about a great victory. You know, they would stand their ground and fight, and the Lord brought about a great victory. So it was not the strength of their arm or the edge of their sword that gave them military victory. It was the power of God working in and through them. And that's what set these mighty men of God apart. And today, if we want to be mighty men of God, like David's mighty men, it is also the power of God that enables us to be the men that he wants us to be. But one of the great stories is one in which David and one of his mighty men at nighttime come into a valley where Saul is sleeping with his army. And his mighty man says, you know, hey, he says, God has given him into your hands. I can take him, and I will only use one thrust of the sword. He's made your life miserable, King Saul has. That is, he's made David's life miserable. You know, he's hunted him, he's tried to kill him. So, but David basically tells his mighty man not to lift his sword because Saul is anointed. So he put the sword back in the sheath. And in that instance, what had happened was he was resisting the pull of his flesh to do something that was wrong. Why? Because Saul was God's anointed. In other words, to have taken that man's life would have been a violation of the character of God. And sometimes, you know, doing the right thing really means holding back to do something that even under certain circumstances might feel good and seem right. And I think that it's learning to make choices that go against the grain of, in the New Testament, what we call our flesh. Because of our desire to please a holy God and not to do something that is going to dishonor him and displease him. And that's what David was about. And that's what, in that instance, his mighty man was about. And that is not doing something that would displease God or dishonor him. And I think in that sense, they were fighting not only for their identity, but for holiness.
You also talk about how these men, these mighty men of valor, also had to fight for their personal holiness. I think you tell some stories about that as well.
That illustration I just gave, I think, is really a good example. The word holy, it does not mean what a lot of people think. The word holy is not synonymous with purity. The word holy speaks of the essence of all of God's attributes. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, what happens is, among other things, God gives us his holiness. And the illustration I use in Six Battles Every Man Must Win is of a fax machine. When that message is sent over a telephone line, it goes into the fax machine and into a computer chip. When the transmission is over, the telephone transmission stops. And what's on that computer chip, there'll never be more of that transmission on the chip. And what's on it is printed out on paper so we can see it. Well, when we trust Christ, it's like that in that God transfers into our spirit all of his holiness. That transference is over. Living a holy life now means that I trust Christ through my thoughts, words, and deeds, in a sense, print out on the paper of my life the holiness of God so that others can see it. But living a holy life really means understanding what I've received in Christ and allowing that to be expressed in the way that I live. It is our identity in Christ that is the key to how we think and how we speak and how we act as men. And, you know, I think sometimes when I'm tempted sexually, you know, one of the things I think to myself is, you know, Bill, this is not who you are. It's just, that's not who you are. And I think that's a critical issue. When we know who we are, it's easier for us to put faith in Christ to enable us to act that way. A mature Christian is someone who is understanding who they are in Christ and consistently living like it. That doesn't mean they always live like it because we're sinful, but it means that they are consistently and more frequently living like it. And when we see ourselves as mighty men of God, as men who are in Christ, we too will have a desire to make choices that do not violate the character of God and the holiness of God and the moral code of God, because right. Our desire is to please Him and is consistent with who we are as new men in Christ.